Well, hello, darlings. Happy Wednesday. I'm here on Wednesday, the 15th of May, jumping in a little bit earlier because there's just so much to talk about, and I am here and ready and excited to be here. Oh my goodness, where to even start? I celebrated my 43rd birthday last week, and that new moon in Taurus was very, very rich and exciting. And I held my new moon manifesting workshop, which you can still go and watch. And I would say that if you're keen, it can still be really utilized that energy until Jupiter moves out of Taurus, which is very, very close, darlings. We're on the final days of this, literally like 11 days, and then Jupiter moves into Gemini. So it's a very, the mood shift from the first half of 2024 to the second half of 2024 will be very, very felt. Because we've been so, excuse me, embodied and enriched and enveloped in Taurus energy and Aries energy. But then this Gemini, like all the Gemini stuff with Venus moving into Gemini, Jupiter moving, and because Jupiter expands everything. So all of a sudden that sign becomes exponentially expanded. And we're having so many incredibly abundant hits this week. With all of the Taurus energy, with the Sun and Jupiter, and Venus and Jupiter, and the Sun and Uranus, and there's a lot going on. So I'm going to do my best to sort of simplify it and bring it down and make it practical, and also maybe just speak into some of this, the energies that are actually playing out. So yes, I had my 43rd birthday. It was really beautiful. Thank you for all the love, 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 darlings. It was right off the back of that new moon manifesting workshop, which, darlings, it was so self-indulgent of me to hold something so rich with over 100 people signed up. I mean, now I think we're nearly at 150 or something like that, the people that have continued to purchase it, which, like I said, you can go and purchase it. It's only $25 and it's like 2 hours of fucking power to really connect into this Taurus energy, which, like I said, is still very active, especially until Jupiter moves into Gemini. So I did that on the 8th. We'd only just got back from New Zealand, which was just a heartfelt time. And look, I really truly wanted to come in and do a podcast last week just because of the expansion that I was feeling. I just think I would have got on and cried. So, I did that new moon manifesting on May the 8th, which was just, within the sphere of my birthday being May the 9th. And it was just such a beautiful way to, I don't know, celebrate this, what feels like this very new energy and new cycle and new part of the year that we're going into after the shit show of April. And I say shit show respectively because eclipses are to be respected and revered, and there is always gold within the eclipses that we're still uncovering and unpacking at this time. But, that new moon in Taurus has just been juicy. It's been delicious. But I also want to say, if you've been feeling fucking lazy, unmotivated, not as like sparkly as all of the astrology or and astrologers are sort of shine, shine, shine. Hello, I'm being Jackie from Housewives of Melbourne. Darling Jackie, I love you. But shine, 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 is everything shiny? Maybe it's not. And it doesn't mean that it's not working. You know what I mean? Like, a lot of people hook into positive transits and this is amazing and this is the best week of astrology. And then you might not be feeling that. And you might be having some intense squares or oppositions or conjunctions happening. And you're like, what the fuck? I'm missing out. But you aren't. You're missing out if you're not paying attention to your life. Yeah, that's when you're missing out. You're missing out when you're not truly present with what's going on for you. Hello, Taurus. This is about embodiment. And there is still this really, oh, I mean, I'm getting tingles talking about it. I feel like I've got electricity running through my body. I'm feeling anticipation in the air and also feeling the clunkiness, the clunkiness of, since we went to New Zealand, sort of getting back into things, I sort of, had a little bit of time off. time off from work and really reveled in the simplicity of my soul's home, Aotearoa. And as my new phrase and line is, my manawa is full of araha, and that is, my heart is full of love. And that comes from my beautiful auntie over in New Zealand. And being back in New Zealand, which is Lemuria, which is my home, it's always felt like that for me. You know, the haka and kapa haka and the wailing and the singing and the waiatas, all of those things have always, the waiata have always felt like home for me. Like, it's not been something that I've just felt now. It's the moment I, you know, even just being around Joel's whānau, you know, even when we first met 23 years ago, there was just something so rich, and it was, you know, there was a lot of tears, there was a lot of crying, there was a lot of healing. It was Joel's pop's 90th. All the whānau was there, you know, mostly. His pop has 7 children, including Joel's mother, and it was just a really deeply cathartic, heart-opening experience, you know, sitting down and learning about our whakapapa and like seeing my girls in tears constantly because they're remembering their soul. I mean, we could all move there tomorrow and it wouldn't faze us, and I am assuming that at some point there will be a move back onto that land, whether it's for a year, for 10 years, in 10 years, in 1 year, who knows, it will happen. That's a given. That's not even a question, that will be happening at some point in our lives for a certain amount of time, because it is the motherland. And there's just something about New Zealand that the land is, of course, you know, Australia is sacred land. All land is sacred when we connect to it. Hello, Taurus. It is the land, the earth, the land on which we stand, giving reverence to that, to the traditional landowners. In every facet, getting your feet on the earth, no matter where you are, no matter what country, culture, introducing yourself to the land and opening into that is a really beautiful way to, you know, connect into the energy. And coming into the Auckland airport always just makes me feel like I'm at home. And yeah, it's just been such a beautiful, beautiful, deep time. And again, remembering that Taurus energy is around simplicity. So whilst there's a lot of astrology at the moment going, oh, this is going to be the best fucking week of the... Look, you know, yes, I've hands down talked about May being the best month of the year. I wrote about it fucking a year ago in my kit, you know, like I've lived this year. But the thing is that... And the hype of April, it lived up to those expectations. It was a very, you know, the dragon month and the dragon year, eclipses, Mars in Mars retrograde in Aries. It was a time, you know, the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction in Taurus, this Taurus season being really deeply embodied. And so expectations can be a little bit, you know, high when astrologers are sort of amping this up. And this is often what happens with the planet Jupiter. It's like, oh, this is going to be constant abundance and constant optimism. And he's the Santa Claus of the Zodiac. And he is. Do not get me wrong. Like, Jupiter is that. Jupiter is that and more. He is wisdom and philosophy and abundance and glory to God. Like, there is some really positive, optimistic, confident, luxy, bougie astrology this week, this last week of Taurus. Hell yes. I mean, we're in the last few days of Taurus, darling. The sun moves into Gemini on the 20th. And to be honest, it's probably the first Taurus season ever. I'm looking forward to that shift. And yeah, you've never heard me say that. Do not fall off your chair. Do not spit your water out of your mouth. I mean, I'm even in shock myself. I've been saying it the last few days. And it's not because I haven't reveled in this energy, but I am just feeling excited. Like, I can feel the next cycle coming in. I think that that's all it is. It's sort of like this precipice energy and reveling in the embodiment of slowing down in Taurus season, which is, you know, which is, that's what we're doing. We're really just being in the simplicity of it all. And that's sort of what I'm, you know, that's sort of what I'm trying to say here in a roundabout way, like, is watch your expectations in these times. you miss the point when you don't stay present. You miss the point when you're seeking out something other than what is. And that's my point. Because it's very easy to get hooked in to those very abundant, exciting words in these transits. And more often than not, if we're really honest with ourselves, the transits may not live up to our expectation. You know, already the Jupiter-Uranus thing, you know, what's changed in your life? Like what, you know, did you all of a sudden, you know, these are slow, gradual changes that are happening. It's in Taurus. Even with all of this energy that's happening now, we're looking at, we had the Uranus Kazemi. So the sun hit Uranus, which he does every year. You know, this isn't, you know, this isn't fancy. This, the sun hits every single planet every year. And then we're going to have the Jupiter Kazemi. And this is happening on the 20th, the 18th and 19th. Okay. So we're leading into Jupiter and Uranus, two big planets, both being close to the sun and being like burnt up. You know, then they make their Kazemi, so they're at their exact conjunction. So for Uranus, that was on the 13th and 14th of May at 23 Taurus. And then the sun will hit Jupiter at 28 degrees of Taurus, the 18th and 19th of May. So it's sort of late 18th all the way through to the 19th, because it's like a 24-hour period. And that was the same with the sun hitting Uranus, late the 13th all the way through till the 14th for 24 hours, yeah? So that is beginning the new cycle. You know, it's burning up the old. But in the process of that, what are we feeling? Maybe you're feeling tired. Maybe you're feeling lethargic. Maybe you're feeling unmotivated. Maybe you're feeling a bit burnt out. Maybe you're feeling lost. You know, I've had so many people that I know, they're just sort of like questioning everything, questioning their soul-aligned businesses, questioning their future, questioning where they want to live, questioning their jobs, questioning things. And it makes sense, you know, like we're in very practical times with a shit ton of, you know, with a lot of Aries, so identity stuff, a lot of Taurus, our values, our sense of worth, you know, the physical body. You know, maybe you are feeling wired and tired. Maybe you are feeling burnt out, scattered, depleted. Maybe you're sleeping really well. Maybe you're not sleeping very well. Maybe you're wanting to exercise, but not, or maybe you have started exercising again. Like maybe you're feeling inspired. Maybe you're not, but I just want to say none of it's right or wrong. When you can welcome everything, that's when you've gotten the lesson. So whilst, yes, this week, I don't want to deny that, you know, there's some really beautiful alignments, some really lucky alignments. Absolutely. As I've been saying, May is a really beautiful month. But how has that beauty transpired? Has it been, you know, thinking that, you know, all of these things are going to happen? Or has it, you know, transpired in mundane moments, you know, with whānau, with family, which is whānau in Māori, with children, with the earth, with a friend, with a cup of coffee? How simple and how stripped back have you been this month in this Taurus season? Because like I said, we've only got 5 more days and something exciting, you know, I also, you know, pinged June as a pretty cool month as well. Last year and in my kit, because we've got, you know, we move from that big stellium in Taurus to a huge stellium in Gemini, you know, like obviously the new moon will happen in Gemini, Mercury will enter Gemini, which is his home sign, Jupiter's going to expand everything in Gemini, Venus is going to be there. We're going to really welcome this sense of lightness. We're going to sort of embrace like, okay, we've felt maybe the earth-shattering trauma of war. You know, I'm listening to fucking Diary of a CEO and, you know, about, you know, the potentiality of a nuclear war, knowing that Uranus in Gemini, which happened in World War II, is coming. You know, Uranus is moving into there, and I'm not doom and gloom. I completely agree with what Stephen said about this episode. You know, it's better to be aware of these things, not about fear. Like if you live in fear, you can't live in trust. And so this is a big thing too. And I share a lot of stuff that, you know, to some people may seem doomsday-ish, which, you know, I'm not a fucking doomsday person. I'm not a spiraling conspiracy theorist. You know, I've got certain things that I feel and think, and mostly, you know what? I keep them to my motherfucking self. I do not need to spew shit all over social media by constantly sharing things around what's happening around the world whilst doing fucking nothing. If I'm going to cry and sob, I will do that in my own private time, and I do not need to constantly share things online. Yeah, a little bit of a moment there because I'm pretty sick of it. You know, the judgment, you know, people are literally, you know, like walking away from friendships because friends are not sharing certain things on Facebook and Instagram. Like, that's how shallow people have gotten, because it's not shared on Facebook or Instagram, they don't think that it's happening. Okay, I'm having a little drink now because I'm a little bit fired up, darling. Anyway, life is fragile, life is brutal, life is short, life is temporary, and the awareness of that. Hello, I've got an eighth house stellium. You know, fear, it's not a fear thing for me. I share this stuff with everyone. Like, when I'm talking, I literally had like an osteo session before I went to New Zealand. It's like the first one of the day. It's like her just opening up for the first, I'm her first client, and literally went into like a death spiral talk with her. And then I was like, oh, like, hey, Sozzy, about that. Like, I'm your first person of the day and I'm talking about the end of the world. Like, yay, like, have a happy day. And she, you know, she's a Scorpio, but, and she's awesome, and she just sort of laughed it off and it was funny. But the thing is that, you know, I don't shy away from these sorts of topics and conversations. So here I am, very similar to Stephen Bartlett, who I love and adore as a podcast host and as a person, but, you know, and he's bringing on this person who has spoken to leaders and all this stuff about nuclear war and how real it can be and how we're one mistake away from a nuclear war, what that looks like, how quickly it happens that humans are, you know, annihilated. And it's, you know, it's confronting in a way that's real, you know, and not in a fearful way. I don't have any fear around that. And because, darlings, this is the thing, you can't be in fear and in trust at the same time. They don't work together. So when there's a trust in this sort of natural progression and orchestration and symphony of the universe, of even the humans in what they are doing and what's going on, there isn't fear. And I'm not saying that fear doesn't stop us from, you know, being aware, or fear might not come up because we're human, but living from a space of fear, if you were to just put the two words down, fear and love, right? Or fear and trust, perhaps, or fear and love, whatever, you know, whichever, how that works for you. And then all of the words that come off that, I mean, trust and surrender all go in with love, and, you know, and really, again, trusting the process. But then fear, you know, worry, guilt, you know, all of those perceived negative emotions, because they're not, like, we're all going to experience these things. It's just how long do we stay in them? And so there is a lot of wild shit going on out there. And, you know, it is getting wilder. Like, those solar flares on Saturday floored me. Like, I was in bed by 9 p.m., I know everyone was up looking at all the lights and all the things, and I'm not really going to go on any sort of, you know, pathway around any of this stuff. There was, you know, extreme solar flares that we haven't had for a long time. And this is what the sun does. We get solar flares. The earth feels solar flares. I knew from the moment I woke up Saturday morning, something was fucking happening. So some people are preaching darkness, harp, lightness, aurora lights, blah, 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 blah. I'm not talking about any of it. I didn't see a thing. I was in bed. I was asleep, because that's exactly what my entire physical body needed. Okay. And I'm not on anything. I'm just, I knew that there was something going on, because I could feel it all day Saturday when I was out. I was out at netball. I did some grocery shopping with Joel, and I was very tetchy and very frustrated and very irritable. As soon as I got home, my whole body felt like I had the flu, which I didn't. I wasn't sick, but my bones were aching. My body was aching. I was enormously tired. And then I went and looked on my little Schumann thing, and then all of a sudden all the stuff started coming out around these extreme solar flares, and I'm like, of course, but these ones were quite like the G5 or whatever. So, you know, I've read up on NASA and things like that. Astronomy is a real thing. You know, solar flares are a real thing, just like the northern and southern lights are a real thing. But also that there's other things, and it was an interesting conversation going on, and there was some interesting conversation even in, you know, my own home. But my thing was, is I was just physically flawed. Like, I couldn't move. I was tired. I was in bed at 9 o'clock. So, and I'm very happy about that. I'm fine with that. That was exactly like my body knew something was going on, and it was like, see you later. Like, cocoon, do what you need to do, shit ton of water. And I felt so much better the next day. So we've got to trust our bodies in situations. Trust the body over trusting anything else. Trust it over trusting me. Trust it over trusting someone else online that you know, trust it over reading a fucking science thing. I will always trust myself over anything else, over anyone else. I don't even care about like statistics or anything. If something feels aligned, I will trust it. So again, I think I'm still circling back here to Taurus, the archetype of the physical vessel. How did you feel on Saturday? Right? This is Australian time that I'm speaking about. Saturday, I did a little poll and there was a lot of people going, I knew something was going on. And then some people, maybe they live, you know, maybe they're not massively in their bodies and they're not connected, so they didn't even notice anything. And that's cool. Like, that's not a judgment. A lot of people live unaware. You know, they're not really tuned into what's going on. For other people, super sensitive. And this isn't about empathy or tapping into someone else's fucking energy in the shopping center. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about cosmic alignment, nature's alignment. And when something is going on, like a fucking G5 solar flare, yeah, some people aren't going to feel that because they're not living in that space of really tuning into their physical vessel. They just go along with their day. They just push through, you know, and that's, again, that's not a judgment. Just is, some people live like that. You know, that's just how they live. But for other people, they feel it. And I did have a big response of people feeling it in my Instagram, as you can imagine. You're probably one of them. So the thing is that, yeah, Saturday here in Australia, Brisbane, whew, those energies were big. So for some people, yeah, tired, frustrated, exhausted, angry, irritable, achy, flu-like symptoms, headaches. Like, it is huge to have that. And you know that the flare has something to do with it. And if you sort of follow solar flares, you often feel like that. But this one was a big one. Like, I knew, like I said, I knew from the moment I got up. So the thing is that, like, there is so much going on. I mean, and that happened to be, you know, of course, the day that, you know, the Sun and Uranus were coming together. And so we're feeling a lot of stuff in our physical vessel. There's a lot of, I want to say, upgrading, not in a wanky way, but there's a lot of acceleration happening in the energy fields, even with it being so heavily subdued in Taurus, which is that heavy, solid, fixed archetype. But for me, the reason I even said that I'm looking forward to Gemini season and this shift is because I'm ready to feel that movement through and that acceleration of the energy to shift into a different space and dimension. And I say that sort of laughing as well, because Mars will eventually move into Taurus and we'll have him really activating and honing in our intense, you know, just the way that we're moving in the world, our actions, our energies, our desires, our intentions will again be solely connected to the Taurus archetype, which is, you know, I've got Mars in Taurus. He doesn't love to be there. It is his place of detriment. It's very patient, persistent, tenacious, stubborn, and again, very heavy in the body. But even, you know, even this week, Mercury is about to move into Taurus on the 16th. Okay. So again, now the focus of the mind, we're out of all of that Aries energy and we're moving into possibly a more calm, stabilized sense of thinking and ideas and conversation and communication after the fuckery of Aries after of Mercury spending a shitload of time in Aries, right? And not only was it in Aries, but it was while we were having eclipses. It was in Aries season. It was with Chiron's in Aries. It's the North Node's in Aries. You know, like Mars is now in Aries. Like there is a lot going on in two of the beginning signs of the zodiac. Yeah, so we're feeling this. We're really integrating a whole new world, all of us. This stuff is uncharted terrain. You know, on my sessions, I'm seeing people like I'm talking, you know, I know no one wants to hear the word unprecedented times again. But the thing is that there's so many things going on astrologically, even just, you know, talking about Saturn and Neptune being in the same sign, you know, the planet of illusion, glamour, magic, dissolving fogginess, confusion, but also, you know, beautiful, you know, spiritual upgrades and connection to the divine and unity, which is Neptune, and Saturn, which is just reality tests, reality checks, you know, structure, foundations, patriarchy, you know, authority, but also success and, you know, taking the rose-colored glasses off. You've got Neptune, who loves to wear rose-colored glasses, and fucking Saturn, who chucks them to the wind. They're not only in the same sign, but then they're going to move into Aries together. So we're getting a really big, visceral, but etheric energy of what's real, what's not, who am I, who am I not, am I going left or am I going right? No, I'm really connected here. Oh no, now I'm changing. Oh, what do you mean that media thing was wrong? Oh, now I'm this and I'm, yeah, it's wild. And, you know, and Pisces is the end of the zodiac, you know? So again, we're also in this like fucking interesting death portal. Neptune is at 29 degrees for the first motherfucking time in our lives. In 165 years, not one of us today has experienced Neptune in his home sign at the final degree of the zodiac. And, you know, I've talked about this in my previous podcasts, how important this degree is, how in 2025 it's just getting slammed and slammed and railed over and over again by retrogrades, by Saturn, by Neptune, by it's just fucking by the North Node. It's like wild. Like I just have to fucking laugh. Like it's just so much. I've gone on a gazillion fucking tangents here, but I'm just like, holy fuck, everyone. You know, it's big times and it is unprecedented. It is. It's something that is for the history books. And if we don't just stay anchored and present with what's here for us at any given time, you know, we're going to be really swayed off our path. You know, those micro movements that will just fucking fling you into a universe, which is here on Earth, into a slipstream of a completely different reality that you didn't want because you didn't stay true to yourself. You didn't stay anchored. You didn't stay sovereign. These are the lessons of Taurus. And so having Mercury now sort of come in behind a lot of this Taurus energy and then eventually Mars come in, I sort of like this, you know, and in saying that I'm not denying I am excited about the freshness of Gemini. Do not get me wrong. But I'm still bathing in the bougie luxe of Taurus. You know, the sun Uranus happened. Then, of course, we're going to have, what have we got here? I'm just looking at some dates that I've written down. We've got Venus conjunct Uranus also at 23 degrees Taurus. So that 23 degrees Taurus, I'll see how much time I've got here. I have a netball drop off soon, but I wanted to get this in today because, yeah, I've also come in and I'm full with clients and full with X, Y, and Z, you know, that there's big stuff and being anchored into that and present and getting through that. So I wanted to get this out today because I also bloody missed you all. And I was super, super planning on doing a podcast last week. I promise you that. I really was. I know I didn't, but I really did want to. So I was really thinking of you all because that new moon in Taurus was really just so fucking delicious. Then it was my birthday and I'd just come back from, you know, New Zealand and I wanted to just share my heart. But like I said, to be honest, I probably would have just cried because the new moon call was just so fucking glorious. And then my birthday was just so divine. Like I literally stayed at home all day. It was so good. my daughters decided to stay home from school, which was completely fine. But then they did go out for a little while. So I had some time by myself and I just fucking danced and listened to 90s club music really fucking loud. Like my whole street was like, why is Tiani listening to 90s club at 9 a.m. in the morning? And I'm like, because it's my motherfucking birthday. Okay. And I'm drinking coffee and I'm dancing. And then I wrote up all of my stuff because that's what I do for a job. I tap into people's birthdays and give them what's happening for them for the year ahead and what house is activated and their Time Lord and their liquid crystal. And I do all of that stuff for everyone else. And I sat in that energy and I just did it all for myself. And it's fucking bougie as fuck. I mean, I'm in a Venus year with Venus in Taurus. My solar return chart was just fucking sublime. And, Venus is abundance and, love, of course, but also, desires and what you deserve and money and things. And the very next day, I literally went out for coffee with my best friend and on the 10th. And a guy just came up to us in the fucking carport and gave me a voucher for a free coffee. And I was just like, okay, thank you. I am in a Venus year. Like just receiving the gifts, receiving the gifts. And I had, yeah, it's just, it's all, it was just all delicious. Anyway, that's what I did on my birthday. I was thinking of you all. And now we're here. We're in, a really, big week. And so some of these dates are, back to the dates, back to what's going on. Well, I also just want to say, the full moon next week, which is on the 23rd, which is when Venus and Jupiter make a conjunction right at 29 degrees of Taurus. So the very last degree of Taurus, and the very last time for 12 years that Venus, the lesser benefic, and Jupiter, the greater benefic, meet in the abundance, luxe, bougie, manifesting fucking sign of Taurus. So we're feeling all of these things now, darlings, And so, of course, Mercury is going to come in and trigger all these points. Mars then comes in and triggers all these points. They're all, there's a whole lot of stuff, as going through that Taurus house of yours. And like I said, honestly, if you want to just have 2 hours of epicness, go and buy my manifesting. The replay's right there. Like as soon as you purchase it for $25, you can watch it. You can watch the replay immediately. And you can get a real feel too. And we do a bit of manifesting. We do some ritual and things like that. And it was so well received that I will definitely plan on doing more of those sorts of calls. The fact that, there's 100 people, I mean, like I said, a lot more have bought it, but, pretty much on the live, I think we got to like 100 people or something like that. This is, I felt that heart call, and this new moon in Taurus was so rich for that. Like, let's dive in, let's do something really practical. And as I say in the call, this wasn't just about, oh, this is a new moon in Taurus and it's setting up our next, lunar cycle. I'm like, no, this is a part of a new 14-year cycle. This new moon is connected and plugged in to the Jupiter Uranus conjunction, which will take 14 years to, well, not a whole 14 years, but it's a new 14-year cycle. And it's, we're looking at this sort of bigger picture stuff here. It wasn't just about, oh, it's a new moon, and then we'll have a full moon, and then we'll have another new moon. It's like, no, this is actually a really important new moon. Hence the reason I did it. Hence why I think so many people were connected to come to it, because we could feel that it wasn't just a normal new moon. Yeah. And so on the 23rd, Venus meets Jupiter for the last time in Taurus for 12 years. Think about how old you'll be in 12 years. Okay, I've just turned 43. Have a nice. So I will be 55. Master number 55. The next time Jupiter is in Taurus, which is delightful for me because 55 in the liquid crystals is Tiger Eye, which is around personal power in action. And of course, it's a master number. So 55 is very exciting. But also on the 23rd, we have the full moon in Sagittarius. Now, again, the new moon that was just in Taurus was ruled by Venus, who was in Taurus. The full moon in Sagittarius is ruled by Jupiter, who is in Taurus, who was also conjunct Venus, the ruler of the last new moon. So you can see here that this is a very benevolent, opportunistic, benefic, you know, the two benefics coming together. This is a really rich time, and I do not want to take away from that. I just also want you to remember about reality, and that it's not about having these high expectations and these hopes. It's about anchoring into what's here and now. Like, if nothing else happened, you know, are you okay with that? Like, that's the thing, you know, if nothing else transpires, like, could you be completely satisfied with your life now? And that's a difficult, you know, I don't know how many people would be. To be honest, I think it would be the minority. Okay. But the thing is that it's, again, it's stripping back the facade and the veils of I need to be this or I need to do this. And, you know, so many people want success and they're following weird strategy marketing people online. So do these things and your business will be a success. I mean, I have people ask me like, oh, so when do you post things and what time? And I'm like, darling, there's no such fucking thing as an algorithm. If you believe there is, there will be. But it's just like me believing that, the you know, whatever we believe, we perceive, we conceive, right? So if you are sharing, if you are who you are and you share a post or you share an offering and it's coming from who you really are, you will receive the benefits back from that. Because the universe is a secret, not so secret super spy. It's got nothing to do with the algorithms. It's got nothing to do with the time of day, darling. It's got nothing to do with that. I know so many people out there, you see them with 60,000, 100,000 followers. You know, a lot of them are bots. A lot of them are bought. You know, so that is all just a lie. Okay, some of the most successful people I know have under 10,000 followers on Instagram. You know why? Because they're doing the work. They're successful because they're doing stuff. So again, you know, I'm speaking into this because we are in an abundant, affluent time. We really are. There's some really beautiful gold riches that we have access to this year. There is. There really is. And as I shared in my new moon call, you know, Taurus is the sign of the manifest stuff. We're bringing something to life. You know, Taurus has a lot to do with that. So wherever Taurus is in your own chart, that is what is coming to life and being manifested for you. But we don't plant the seed and get the fruit the next day. This is about stability, surrender, security, simplicity. Yeah. So the 23rd, as we move in, so I probably won't unpack the full moon. I might actually jump on either next Wednesday or Thursday and unpack that. You know, it's Jupiter ruled. So our, you know, not only is May a pretty delicious month this year, but both of the lunations are ruled by benefics who both happen to be in Taurus. So it's pretty divine. Yeah, it's pretty divine. So that's the 23rd. Okay. So, like I said, the 13th, 14th of May, we had the Uranus-Kazemi, okay? It's when the Uranus and the Sun were at the exact same same degree. We have on the 18th of May, Venus hitting Uranus at 23 degrees. And like I said, if I get the chance, I'll read that what that symbol is out. On the 18th, we also have the Sun and Jupiter coming together. So late the 18th into the 19th. Okay. So this is at 28 degrees of Taurus. So we're getting to the end. Of course, the Sun conjuncts Algol, Medusa's head, the 16th and 17th. Again, this is late. This is late on the 16th and through to the 17th. And this is, you know, we might see some big things in the media that are more violence or rage or, you know, very irrational things going on. It is definitely a week to not lose your head, literally, because that's, you know, it is around the head. This Algol is around the beheading of Medusa. This is a very passionate time, a very seductive time, a very magical time. Yeah, so we're not going to believe the Algol hype of just all fear, but we have to respect there is danger with this beautiful, profound, blinking star. There is transformation. There is something that is alluring and primal and tribal, but there is a rage. There is a sense of feeling maybe unleashed, unhinged. You know, it's certainly not a time, you know, to be drinking alcohol, which is where Algol comes from. this is a malefic star, a malefic fixed star at 26 Taurus. So this is, this is around channeling this week. And if that means you staying in and just, retracting, do that. Yeah. So we've got all of these planets going over that 26 degrees of Taurus as well. So for some people, I've talked to a lot of people, I have a lot of people in my DMs, and, some people are experiencing violence. They're experiencing, the fucking world right now. Just take a look. It's on fucking fire. It is crazy and debilitatingly sad and horrific and horrendous. But there's so much, and it's amplifying, right? And so people personally I know being attacked through social media, just even things like this, there are things that are going on that are behind the scenes in people's lives. And there is, I want to say there is some malicious energy out there, okay? There can be, but there's not, this isn't around fear. This is around awareness and being in truth and trust of the unfolding. Yeah. So yeah, this is a big week when it comes to Algol just constantly being hit. Jupiter hasn't hit Algol in 12 years. Uranus has never hit Algol. That's building. The sun hits Algol every year, as does Venus, as does Mercury, but Mars only hits Algol every 2 years. So he will also be hitting Algol in July. This is when I'm holding Medusa's mansion. If you are feeling the call to step into a profound, 1 month container with me. So we start on the 9th of July. I actually don't think that I've got this on my actual website. So I do apologize if you're waiting for like dates, but it is July. But I will be, I've got to post out a little parcel. So I, will probably be cutting off payments mid-June. So soon, for maybe in the next month, so that I can post everything out, the liquid crystal that we'll be journeying with, which relates to Pegasus, which I'm really excited about working with. Pegasus was born when Medusa's head was cut off. So there's a beautiful story there with Pegasus. Obviously, if you've got planets at 26, or around 26 degrees Taurus, you might feel the Medusa story strong, or have a strong connection with alcohol, have a strong story around alcohol. And I'm going to really open up about that in this container as well. It's going to be a very beautiful, it'll be 4 weeks. Live calls. Mars actually is hitting Uranus, and they're both exactly conjunct. They're conjunct Algol in one of our calls. I've scheduled all the calls to be important calls with cosmic alignments, of course, and we'll never see this again. So this isn't something, I'll offer it again. I'll never be offering this again, because I can't, because it's the astrology that dictates my offers. That's why I don't have regular circles. I did, like I said last week, I did in my 30s, and I did that for a long time, and there is a time and place for those things. However, I am called by the cosmos now. Like, the stars call me, and when it's time for me to do something, I cannot not do it. Hence why I put together a friggin' new moon in Taurus manifesting friggin' circle, manifesting thing online, which I just don't do, 6 days before the event, and like 2 days before I went to New Zealand, and I, had 100 people in there. And it's because the call, and that's what's happening with my Medusa's mansion. It's the call. And there's another couple of other things that I've spoken about, which is We Are the Witches, that I don't want to bang too much on about, because, time's running out, and you can check everything out at my website. But the thing is that the Medusa Algol hits a strong, so be mindful of everything this weekend. The 18th and 19th, also, Mars is hitting the North Node. So it's like all of this Aries energy, where the North Node has been taking us into our independence, our individualization, our identity. So whatever identity crisis that maybe you're going through, just think about all the stuff that we've had, the total solar eclipse. Hello. We've got Chiron here. Which is the wound. We've got Mars for the first time in 2 years in Aries, and this will be the only hit. The final hit, well, and the only, I'm pretty sure. I don't have the maths on me or my ephemeris in front of me, but Mars is hitting the North Node in Aries on the 18th and 19th, but we're going to feel the build all week here. At 13 degrees, and this won't happen again because in 2 years, when Mars is back in Aries, the North Node will not be in Aries. So we're not going to get a Mars and, so a lot of what's happening is what I'm saying too, is a lot of what's happening this week is super rare, or it's the end, or we're finishing something, or it's not something that will happen again for 12 years, 18 years. This is what we're doing, and I can feel that. I can feel that energy, and maybe you can too. And so I'm really slowing down to speed up. And I know that by, the desire of moving into Gemini season, which I, like I said, is very, very rare. I can't even remember ever feeling like this. There's something in me, there's something that everything that we've just been through with all this Taurus stuff, this Gemini lightness and curiosity and discernment and sense of mental discipline, rationality, it's probably fucking needed in these times for sure. But yeah, there's something really alluring. I think that that's what I want to say, is there's an allure to this Gemini season. Yeah, there's an allure. So yeah, this is, Mars hitting the North Node this weekend. Guys, babes, fellas, darlings, this is big. Because Mars won't hit the North Node in Aries again for 18 more years. So it's like the culmination and the action to put everything that's sort of been happening with this North Node in Aries journey into action, into movement, into momentum. Remember, Mars cuts. So if Mars is hitting the North Node in Aries, it's opposing the South Node in Libra. So what do you need to cut out of your life? Sever relationship cords, sever old contracts with people, things, attachments, victim mentality, the martyr, passive aggressiveness, all those Libra things that we're being asked to sever. Mars is going to hit that North Node this weekend. So be very mindful this weekend of your energy, because hello, we're talking Aries stuff here, right? And you're either carving your way forward with this dynamic, or you are putting that sword in the ground, staking it to stay stuck in the past, to stay stuck and hooked into all these old self-indulgent patterns that keep you in the victim mentality, the negative mindset, the poor me, the, oh, that never happens for me. Oh, you're so lucky. Oh, this. I mean, we hear it everywhere. People probably don't even know that they're doing it because they're so disconnected from their sovereignty, from their own inner resources, from their identity, which is what the North Node is asking us to do in Aries. We will not have the North Node in Aries again for 18 more years come January of 2025. Those babies are shifting. Let me tell you, we're moving into Pisces and Virgo land, my friends. Which is a whole, which is literally in a way starting the new cycle. Because the nodes move backwards, the Aries Libra axis is the end. And how coincidental is that we're also moving towards the end of the entire zodiac with Neptune, which is for the first time in 165 years, and Saturn for the first time in 30 years. Yeah, so there's some real big endings and beginnings happening. And I even want to say the energy of this week might feel ecliptic. Like, we've got to think Mars is hitting the North Node. Mars is building to hit Chiron this whole month, okay, and the exact hit comes on the 30th, okay. So again, Mars in Aries is really triggering a lot of what we've been through with the North Node in Aries for since last year. Okay, was it like July or something like that that the nodes shifted? So since last year, okay. Chiron, who's been in Aries now for a few years, he's getting ready to leave that. He only gets to what I think 23 degrees this year, and then retrogrades back to 19. So we're getting closer and closer to that Chiron in Taurus energy, which is actually, when Chiron was founded in 1977, it was when Chiron was in Taurus. So really fascinating. We're going to be moving into that time in this decade. I've told you that this decade is the decade of decades, a million times, right? Like, this is where all of the planets, are doing something fucking enormous, and we are in times like no other. So this Martian energy with Mars in Aries in his home sign, has really been, beautiful. I mean, I there's this element of, as I sort of shared in Aries season, that it would not feel like Aries season, and it didn't. Like, I was like, there'll be a lot of tears because Mars was in Pisces, and now in Taurus season, we've had Mars in Aries, so Mars is sort of like, he's behind the, he's behind the ball, and he's actually going to retrograde later this year. And oh my fucking God, that retrograde is fucking strange, and most of my clients are having some pretty big things with it. I just want to say, it's a Cancer Leo, Mars in Cancer, which is stabby and crabby and moody and broody, and then Mars in Leo, which, love Mars in Leo, don't get me wrong, pretty fucking cool and rad and fun. But then he's retrograding, and Mars is the rarest retrograde. So when he retrogrades, we listen, and we go from a Mars retrograde to a motherfucking Venus retrograde. Like, it is a time coming the end of the year and into 2025. We're going to really feel the shift in energy as Gemini season comes in on Monday. So remember the 20th. I think that that's Monday, isn't it? 5 days. What are we? Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Yep, Monday. Monday the 20th, Gemini season. The sun moves into Gemini, and all of a sudden, and then the other planets begin to follow. Okay, Venus and Jupiter on the 26th. And but for now, there is something rich and delightful about all of these activations that are happening with in Taurus. Venus and Jupiter is delightful and gorgeous and glorious. Venus and Uranus on the 18th. Whilst the Sun and Jupiter are meeting, this is Zeus and Apollo. Then we've got the Mars North Node conjunction happening on the same days. Like, the 18th and 19th, really, ping out over the 18th and 19th. There's some pretty big astrological days, my friends. Really pay attention. And again, like I said, some of this stuff is, we're ending stuff. Jupiter is making his way to the end of Taurus. We're tying up a whole year of Jupiter in Taurus. Mars is hitting the North Node. This won't happen again in Aries for 18 more years. Venus and Jupiter come together at 29 Taurus on the 23rd, same day as the full moon in Sag, which, like I said, I'll probably come back and more prep you for that next week. But this won't happen again in Luxy Bougie Taurus for 12 more years. Jupiter has just come off Algol. But really, we've got the Uranus Jupiter conjunction and Jupiter conjunct Algol, which is expanding those Algol qualities that I just talked about until Jupiter moves out of Taurus. And so this has been the big thing with Jupiter, because he makes everything bigger, he grows and enlarges things. All of this energy is feeling greater. And that again might have you feeling less than what you're expecting these energies. And so I want to sort of circle back to that. As I wrap this up, I want to circle back to remember to, letting go of those expectations of this, you're going to win the lottery or fucking blah, 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 everything, like, just, yes, there is abundant potential, but also abundance of, like, what makes you happy. And if what makes you happy is sitting around and drinking cups, like, honestly, all we did in New Zealand was sit around, drink cups of tea. Yes, we had a beautiful birthday gathering for a couple of days, so it was like lots of big celebrations, but simply sitting down and having beautiful conversations, drinking cups of tea, we had everyone that stayed on the marae sharing the two toilets and the two showers, everyone in the kitchen together, everyone washing up the gazillion fucking dishes every single day and night, people, you know, whānau cooking for us, you know, making big pots of tea. And when you finish that cup, another pot comes out and you're going to eat some fucking sticky date pudding and you're just going to do that. You know, simplicity, what really fills you up? And it doesn't have to be fame and money and success and posting reels and fucking blah, blah, blah. And having this big, huge, I need to change the world goal. Like you change the world by being who you are, staying sovereign, staying authentic, staying in your lane, making your bed, sweeping the leaves, doing the dishes, waving to the neighbor, pulling the weeds out, watering your garden, stripping back to what really matters, then you will, you know, then the mission becomes clear. And for some people, it is a Brené Brown mission. Okay, there is going to be fame surrounding that, or, you know, amazing books or interviews with Oprah, if that's what you think is famous. Like, I don't know what you want, or I'm being very general here. But all I'm saying is that with all of this Taurus energy, the real message, and even the North Node in Aries, I want to say the message again, because we've just had the North Node in Taurus, the North Node of our destiny and our Dharma, again, stripping us back to simplicity. And then all of the Aries stuff, again, self, what motivates you? Who are you? Who do you want to be in this world? What is your legacy? And I tell you, by sitting in a room full of whānau, it was moving to see Pop, who has had 7 children, you know, some of his children just doing incredible work in the community, just being around good people. Yeah, look, it was really humbling and really magical. And we're not all here to do the same thing. So that message really is coming back, letting go of those expectations, the to-do list, the I need to, you know, do all these things for my business to be successful. You don't. When you are in alignment to your soul's mission and to your perceived business, if we want to call it a business, it will be successful. There's no other way. What is meant for you will always be yours, and often without a lot of force, and often without spending thousands of dollars on coaching. The amount of coaches I hear talk about losing tens of thousands of dollars on coaching, now they're coaching and they still don't have money. Look, that's fucking 80% of Facebook and Instagram. Let's just be honest. Like, that is it. There is only a very tiny percent of people who are A, making the money, or funneling, or MLMing, or whatever it is, right? Stay true to your soul. And that, to me, has probably been my biggest takeaway of all of this energy, because I haven't just been fucking doing cartwheels every day. Let me give you the hot fucking tip. You know, there's some big feels going on. There's some big energy. There's some water to be wading through. There's some showing up, there's some work, there's some commitment, there's some devotion, there's some discipline that we need to be the disciple of our own connection to our divine purpose and mission. Not what anyone's preaching or selling, but coming back home to our souls. And I think that has been the biggest standout thing for me over this time, is to come back and to land in that. I mean, not that I wasn't, but you know what I mean? Like, I'm, you know, with all of these fancy things that are going on, I'm not like, you know, like I said, Jupiter and Uranus being combust in the sun, they're being burnt up, like your battery's dead, like you're running out of energy. So to know that the refuel is coming and that we're going to come out feeling brighter and more bold and recharged, that's exciting. That's where the anticipation is. So slow down, be present, don't miss the point. Love your life, love yourself, love those around you. Oh, so much heart, darlings. Just thank you for being here. Thank you for everything. It's been a rich, rich conversation, and I will talk to you next week. Bye.